through it, we saw the seeking of wisdom. Wisdom is available to all. It's no respecter of persons. We saw letter A, that we must be receptive if we want wisdom. We've got to be open to teaching and instruction if we want it. Many folks are closed to instruction. They'll never learn anymore because they've shut the door of opportunity. They know it all. They don't need anything else. Or they don't like where wisdom comes from. It comes from the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They don't want anything that comes from God, so they're going to reject that. So they're not receptive. In seeking wisdom, we must be receptive. We must be responsive. We need to incline our ear unto wisdom. He said, with all thy getting, make a concentrated effort to get wisdom. Letter C was, we must be resolute. We need to be determined. We need to be fixed on getting wisdom. And then it was, we will be rewarded. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It's only as our hearts and minds are open to wisdom that we will be rewarded. So that was the seeking of wisdom in verse 1 to 5. Then we covered the source of wisdom in verse 6 to 9. We covered that again last week. Wisdom's origin, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. If we want knowledge, if we want wisdom, we've got to go to the right place. There are human beings whom God has endued with wisdom, and we truly can learn from them, but the origin of wisdom is the Lord. The Lord giveth wisdom. Then we saw letter B, wisdom's objective, and there were four of them, and we didn't get to spend time on this, but there are four objectives. One, He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. Two, He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Three, He keepeth the paths of judgment. And four, He preserveth the way of His saints. So there are four objectives of wisdom. It wants to work in four areas of our life. Laying up sound wisdom, being a buckler. We talked about a buckler was a hand shield. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then wisdom's outcome, we also saw, was fourfold. Thou shalt understand righteousness, number two, in judgment, number three, in equity, number four, in every good path. What I did not get time to show you is that the four objectives match the four outcomes. The first objective, laying up sound wisdom for the righteous. The first outcome, thou shalt understand righteousness. Well, I see the correlation between the two. Second of all, in the objectives was, He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Number two, and judgment. Thirdly, keepeth the paths of judgment. And the outcome, and equity. Equity was fairness. And then number four in the objectives was preserve the way of His saints. And number four outcome was every good path. So the four objectives of wisdom match the four outcomes of wisdom. All right, we call it tit for tat. One for the other. If we pursue those four objectives, we will have the four outcomes. When is the last time we asked God for wisdom? When's the last time we prayed for wisdom? Probably the last time we had a major decision to make. The old proverb or the expression is, don't sweat the little things. And that's not good wisdom. All right, that's modern day philosophy. Don't sweat the small things. No, the small things are what produces the big things. We ought to be praying for wisdom in the small things. That way we've got wisdom for the bigger things. And so the objective and the outcome. That brings us down to verse number 10 in Proverbs chapter 2. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion, there's a very key word, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. All right, after looking at the seeking of wisdom and the source of wisdom, we come then to verse 10 to 19, and that is the safety in wisdom. There is safety in wisdom. Wisdom provides safety for those that embrace it. There's safety in making wise choices. Safety in making wise decisions. You don't get the repercussions that you get when you make unwise decisions or unwise choices. So there is safety in wisdom. Verse 10 down to verse number 19. When wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. That's our first point, letter A, the preservation of wisdom. It said in verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. The preservation in wisdom. It says the first word, when wisdom entereth into thine heart. When we seek it, we find it. All right, seek and ye shall find. If we're looking for wisdom, God will give us wisdom. If we're not looking for it, God doesn't give it to us. If we're not praying for it, if we're not seeking it, if we're not making it an objective, we'll not have it. And the problem many times is that it's not a priority. It is the number one priority, according to Solomon telling his young son, beyond all things, beyond all knowledges of science and math and education, above everything, you need wisdom. And if people had a lot more wisdom and a lot less book knowledge, we'd still be a lot better off. That's not a slam on book knowledge. We need that, but wisdom is the principal thing. All right, the preservation of wisdom. When wisdom cometh into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. You know, a child has no discretion. What is discretion? Well, discretion is knowing what to do and when to do it. Children just do what comes natural. They do whatever they feel like doing. They do it when they feel like doing it. We have some young children in our home, and we have to teach them discretion. When Sonia says, go do this, that doesn't mean you sit there for a couple more minutes until you decide you want to do it. Discretion says you need to be obedient immediately. And so we are teaching discretion. Why? Because discretion leads to wisdom. The old story is told of the missionary, and I don't know if it's a true story or not, but the story is told of the missionary in some African country whose son, young son, was standing underneath a big tree, and dad walked out to see him, and the minute he saw him, he just growled and yelled at him, fall down on your face. And the boy, being an obedient child and having discretion, did what his dad said, and he fell flat down on his face. He said, now crawl to me. And the boy crawled up to him, and when the boy got to him and turned around and looked, there was a big python or a big snake hanging on the lower limb of that tree that was ready. Most children today, when dad says, fall down on your face, would have said, what? Why are you talking to me like that? What gives you the right to tell me what to do? And the snake would have gotten them. Discretion is knowing when to act and when not to act. There are some times that we don't. I heard a woman talking this week, talking about when her and her friend were young children. They were girls and they were walking down the street, and in their neighborhood in a small town, small city, some man was over in a car and said, hey girls, come on over here. And they'd been taught, don't talk to strangers, don't go. And they said, hey, your brother, we've got your brother here, and he wants you to come over. And they took off and ran the other direction. All right, discretion. Knowing what to do and when to do it. And that is taught. All right, we learn that. We learn it from wisdom. So wisdom is a very important thing. It preserves us. It keeps our way. Knowing what to do and when to do it. Knowing what to say and when to say it. Children blurt out things, don't they? Don't ever tell a child a secret. Because if you tell them a secret, it's not going to be a secret any longer. Everybody's going to know about it. Oh, discretion, we teach them discretion. Here's when to say things, here's when not. You know, we don't have to say everything we know. We don't have to say everything that comes into our mind. Discretion, wisdom, puts a blocker up there and helps us to know when information should be shared, when it should not be shared. when it should be said, when it should not be said, who it should be said to, who it should not be said to. All that comes from discretion, which comes from wisdom. He says, wisdom entereth into thine heart, discretion shall preserve thee. How many times have we said things that we later regretted? We've all been there. We've all done that. Said things and said later, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't told them. I wish I hadn't whatever, blurted that out, whatever it is. We've all been through that. Well, that's because we're lacking discretion. Discretion is a result of wisdom. It preserves us. It keeps us from regretting. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. All right? The preservation in wisdom. Then in verse 12, we see the protection in wisdom. Now, preservation and protection are pretty similar, but preservation is more non-actions, words, spoken words, things like that. But there's also protection from it. Verse 12, to deliver thee. Notice again in verse number 16, to deliver thee. All right, it's our protection. Two things or two cases of protection are given in these verses. First of all, number one, in verse 12 to 15, it said, to deliver thee in verse 12 from the way of the evil man. So we are protected by wisdom from the evil man. Like I mentioned, the story of that lady telling us that she was protected from that man. No telling what that man would have done, what his motives were, but by turning and running. The purpose of the story was she told us that her and her friend ran and jumped the hedges and were running away, getting away from that man. And then later on, the two girls decided they were going to jump that hedge again, and they caught the top of it and fell flat on their face. And the whole purpose, this was a training thing about the brain and its functions and the different places of and all that, what it does. And we react sometimes and do things that we don't. Y'all heard the story about somebody lifting a car off somebody else. It's something that's not normally done. But God has so designed our brains and our reactions. All right. We need to help design that. We know evil when we spot it, but some people give in to it. How many times are we watching the television and say, I should turn this thing off? I just read this morning in an article, there's a new TV show called God Friended Me. And it's about some guy that God friends him on Facebook or some ridiculous thing. Anytime Hollywood's going to make a TV show that's got something to do with God, you can pretty well write it off. This is going to be bad. But it's God Friended Me. And supposedly this guy gets messages from God, and it helps him save people from bad situations because God is letting him know these things are about to happen. I think there was a TV show called Person of Interest that was about the same thing. But this one included God in it. But anyways, I just read this morning in an article that the most recent episode of that show was that there was a character in the show that was a Christian. They showed this person was a Christian. And now in this latest episode, he is a homosexual. He's got a husband. And his father is a reverend, is what the article said. His father isn't a reverend and came to grips with that and accepted it, that it was okay. All right, protecting us from the evil man. All right, that's what this is all about. In verse number 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward. The word froward means perverse. You know what perverse is? God friended me. That the Christian is a homosexual and his reverend father is okay with it. That's perverse. All right, that's froward. That's the evil man. And evil men shall wax worse and worse, the Bible says. So this is just a trend. This is just where we're going. We need to be protected from the evil man. Small letter A, from his way. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. It's not necessarily being delivered from the evil man. We live in this world and we're surrounded by the people of this world. We can't be delivered from all the people that are out there. But we can be delivered from the evil way. The Lord's, the prayer that the Lord taught his disciples, and deliver us from evil. Alright? Evil is the evil way. Now the new Bible say, deliver us from the evil one. Alright? Making it specific. making it a certain person, but the Bible is delivers from the evil way, the evil that surrounds us, not locating it in one person or one identity, but that just the forces of evil are all around us. And we need wisdom to be protected from that. Because the devil puts his hook in there and gets people hooked and then draws them farther and farther. That evilness just attracts them. So we need to be delivered from the evil way. We need to watch our associations. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now we think that's just, we think that's just referring to marriage or dating or something like that. No, it says, be not unequally yoked together. Don't have too close associations with unsaved people, because we all know the illustration. You take a bushel of apples and put one rotten one in the middle. The good ones don't make the rotten one better. The rotten one makes the good ones worse. And that's just the law. That's just the way it works. So we're delivered from his way. That's why we as parents watch who our children hang around with. Because we don't want that evil influence. Solomon told his son way back in chapter 1 verse number 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait. Watch out for their way. Watch the wicked man and the evil man and his way. Secondly, it says in verse 12, the man that speaketh froward things. Protection from the evil man, not only his way, but from his words. That speaketh froward things. 14 times in Proverbs, this word froward is used. 14 times. Solomon is trying to emphasize to his son, watch the language. Watch the conversation. The girls overheard somebody yesterday. We were out somewhere and they overheard somebody use a cuss word. And we made a comment about that. And I said, well, that's what unintelligent people do. And they wanted to know what unintelligent meant, first of all. So I said, kind of like dumb. That's what dumb people do. She said, so you're saying that man's dumb? And obviously the man wasn't dumb that he'd use. I said, no, he's not dumb. I said, but we repeated the sentence we heard him say without the cuss word in it, and the sentence made complete sense. That word wasn't even necessary to be in there. I said, he could have communicated that without that word in it, but he wasn't smart enough to do it. He wasn't smart enough to refrain from not using that word. We've got to be careful of the evil man's words. Verse 15 and verse 14 talk about the word froward also. It says in verse 15, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. That means they're perverse in their way. It says in verse 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness, the perverseness of the wicked. Perverseness is like that one Jonadab advising his cousin of how he can commit sexual immorality with his stepsister. That's perverseness. All right, and that's what this world is focused on today. That's everything that goes on today. Everything that comes out of the world today is perverse. And so to get protected from that, we sure need a cupful of wisdom. And we need to be passing that on. We need protection from the evil man, from his way, from his words, from the froward mouth, the froward tongue. And then letter C, verse 13, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. We need protection from his walk, letter C. From his way, from his words, from his walk. Notice what it says in verse 13. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. You know what? One of the biggest problems that I read all the time of the church today is on all these websites, and Tom Rainer is a guy that puts out all this church information, all that kind of stuff. You know what the big one problem is that we're losing our young people. We're losing the younger generation. We've had people come to our church and visit recently, and I've heard this more than one time. It's so refreshing to be in a church where there's children. they're enjoying that because many churches don't have that anymore. Or to get them, they're having to compromise on what church is altogether. And so this says about this person, it says that those froward people are those who leave the path of righteousness. They once walked in it. They once knew it. They once did what was right. But they got sucked into the evil man in his ways and his walk, and now they are in turn leading others in that direction. And isn't that just an accurate description of our modern day? That those that once knew the truth have trodden it underfoot. And now, as we say about Peter, a backslidden Christian is never content to go down themselves. They always want to take somebody down with them. If they get out of church, they want to get somebody else out of church. If they want to turn to the ways of perverseness, they want some of their friends to go in that same way of perverseness. And so that's what he's talking about here. Their walk. They once knew. They leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. Beware of that evil man. Then letter D, verse 14 and 15. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Notice, from his wickedness. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness, the perverseness of the wicked. You know what the problem is? Is those that leave the ways of righteousness for the ways of wickedness are never satisfied. Once you get out of fellowship with God, I remember a preacher saying this years ago, when you turn your back on God, God messes with your mind. And I've seen this time and time again, that when people get away from God, they get out of church, they get away from the things of God. Oh, I'll get out of church, but I would never be like this person. I would never do that. I would never do this. Well, just hang on. Just wait 10, 15, 20, 25 years, and you'll see what getting out of church really does for you. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. They get to, at one time where they're not in the company of those people, now they like being around them. They like hearing the stories. They like knowing what evil people do, whose ways are crooked, and they froward. They're perverse in their paths. Wisdom gives us protection. And to walk outside of the hedge of wisdom walks out the hedge of protection. You watch Christians' lives and you see them over and over again, and you warn them and you talk to them and you see them repeatedly do the same things. And you say, when are they going to learn? Well, it'll get worse and worse unless they ask for that wisdom. So evil, from the evil man. Then verse 16, again, we have these words, to deliver thee, just like verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, we'll say verse 16 to 19 on the back of your page there. To be delivered, being protected from the evil woman. Verse 16 to 19. Solomon again is warning his young son against the influence of the evil man. Against the influence of the evil woman. Verse number 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. From the evil woman, small letter A, she is flattering. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger. That phrase, strange woman, is an unusual term. The strange woman. What does that mean? Well, it's talking about what it talked about up here in verse number 13. Who leave the paths of righteousness. The strange woman is one, it says in verse number 17, she forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Why is she strange? Because she's turned her back on God. She knew the right way, she knew the right path, but she deserted those, and now God refers to her as a strange woman. She's a stranger to the things of God. It's the way the Bible describes us, as Ephesians chapter 2, strangers of the covenant, strangers of God, enemies in her mind by wicked works. And so this woman is a woman that was raised right, knew the right thing, but went the wrong direction when she got older. She is flattering. To deliver her from the strange woman, even from the stranger with flattereth with her words. You know what the word flattering means? It means insincere praise. Insincere praise. Now, there's nothing wrong with honest praise, But insincere praise, we have our American colloquialism for it. It's called buttering up. To butter somebody up. And usually for an ulterior motive. Usually because we want something out of them. Politicians are good at buttering up, flattering. A lot of folks are good at flattering. Flattering words to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, with flattereth with her words. You know, there's more power to that than we recognize. We mentioned this story recently, but do you think that Samson would have ever ended up bound and blind in the mill had he not been flattered by Delilah? There's no other way. There's no doubt, or it seems to appear, that Samson loved Delilah. All right, there's a woman of the Philistines, and Samson loved her. But there's also no doubt in the story that Delilah never loved Samson. She was always out for what she could get out of it. And what she could get out of it was that bounty that was given by the leaders of the Philistines if they could bind Samson and bring him in. And so she repeatedly flattered him. Oh, Samson, you're so strong. Oh, Samson, there's no man like you. No one could bide your strength. Boy, where do you get it from? What is it that makes you so strong? And on three different occasions, she batted her eyes, flattered with her lips, and Samson, a big, strong hunk of a man, succumbed to it. Because that flattering had power. Solomon's warning his son. Watch out for that woman that flattereth with her lips. Watch out for that one that gives insincere praise. She is flattering. Small letter B, she is forgetful. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. That's why she's a strange woman. She had been raised in the ways of God, but turned her back on him. And so now she's a strange woman. She has abandoned purity. She has abandoned morality. A backslidden Christian is much more dangerous than an unsaved person. Because an unsaved person, just even they will seem to have a check or balance on something, but one that's turned their back on God has no end to where they'll go. That's why the warning in Hebrews about those that have trodden under the Son of God. There's no space for repentance. She is forgetful. She is forgotten. She is abandoned. The morality. She can never again be a pure woman. She can never again go back to what she used to be. And that's our world just stinks, doesn't it? In society today, it's just almost taken for granted that a man and a girl meet each other and within minutes, if not hours, if not minutes, they're sleeping together. That's just the philosophy of the world today. And some of us that are dinosaurs, that were raised with a better sense of morality, we reject that for that. But that's what the younger generations are being influenced by. They're influenced by television and country western music and all those things that are out there. That's just the way it is. You hook up with the first one you can find. You go to bed with them. Whose bed have your boots been under? I mean, you just do it because that's what comes natural. And that's the influence of the evil woman. She is forgetful. She's abandoned. You can't go back. Once you lose your purity, you can't get it again. The virtuous woman, Solomon said, who can find? It's getting more and more difficult. Harder and harder. She is forgetful. Let her see. She is fatal. For her house inclineth unto death. And her paths unto the dead. That's pretty drastic, isn't it? Her ways lead to death. None that go into her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. Once you've given up your moral purity, you can never have it back again. I admire Tim Tebow. Most of you are familiar with him. He's the son of missionaries. He was raised in the Philippines as a missionary kid. He was homeschooled all through his educational years. And by everything I have read, and I've read his biography, I've read things about him, I see him when he's in the news, he's a man of moral purity and character. And he has been endlessly ridiculed by this world. He has claimed that at his age he is a virgin and that he is saving himself for marriage. And boy, in the world we live in today, that's just mocked and ridiculed and criticized up one side and down the other. Now, I don't know, you know, a lot of what I know about him, I speculate. I thought he would have made a great football quarterback. And he had a great season once with the Denver Broncos, but they didn't get him back. Then he tried, I think, with the Jets, and they cut him. And I, you know, sometimes I just wonder, here's a man that was raised recognizing that Sunday was a holy day. Sunday was a day set apart to God. He learned growing up, and now God shut the door for him having an occupation that involved Sundays. And now he's an analyst for college football, which plays on Saturdays. And again, I'm just speculating there. I don't know any of that for sure. But here's a young man anyways that did not take the fateful step. Say, I'm saving myself for marriage. And maybe it's those things, many speculate, that cost him his football career, that cost him his position in sports and all that. And that's the way the world is. But the Bible gives this warning. Her house inclines unto death. Her paths unto death. You know, the world would like to find out that Tim Tebow is not what he says he is. They would rejoice if he would fall. They would rejoice in finding a blemish in an otherwise clean individual and person. That's it. That's what this is all talking about. They froward in the wickedness of others. And they want to see Christians polluted. They want to see them defiled. So we need protection that comes from wisdom, from the evil man, and from the evil woman. And then lastly, in chapter 2, verse 20 to 22, is the security in wisdom. There's a difference between safety and security. We say the house is safe and secure. All right, two different words. So there's safety in wisdom, and there's also security in wisdom. Verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, not the way of evil men, not in the way of evil women, but in the way of good men. The way of, and we're using this word, the way of wise men. Letter A, the way of wise men. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. Stay away, he says, from the path to the harlot's house. And walk in the ways of good men. The Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ. There's nothing wrong with having mentors. There's nothing wrong with having someone whose life is lived for God and you follow their example. That's what Paul said. Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ. But if that person goes out of the way, then you ought to be able to see Christ. I'm always reminded that Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord also high and lifted up. I think the prosperity of Israel under Uzziah made the people to look at Uzziah instead of God. And even Isaiah the prophet had his eyes fixed on Uzziah and the blessings he was getting from him. And when he died, then he saw God. So we need to follow the paths of the righteous as long as they're following God. Paul said to Timothy, follow after righteousness, the way of wise men. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Mark good men and follow them. Mark good men and follow them. Mark evil men and stay away from them. You know what? To me, it's dumb to write a biography about a person who's still alive. Because there have been men who have had biographies written about them. Oh, this guy, he's the epitome. He's the greatest athlete. He's the greatest person. He's the greatest this or that. And then before they died, they messed up completely their life. And the biography's got to be completely rewritten. Let's make sure our biographies don't have to be rewritten. Make sure we stay out of the way of the evil man, the evil woman. We follow the way of the wise men. And then verse B, security in wisdom is the way of wicked men. Verse number 22. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth. Transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Think of it this way. You and I are walking around as saved people trying to please God and honor God. And if we can say it like this, we've got a guardian angel protecting us and watching over us. Now, if we don't believe in the guardian angel thing, we know that we've got the Lord God. We've got Him walking with us and following. But the wicked, you know who they got following them? Let's put in the Grim Reaper. Death is always right behind them. Their ways, their words, their walk is always on the precipice. They have no guarantee any moment that that Grim Reaper isn't going to reach out and take them at that moment, because their ways are the paths of death. Their ways are the ways of the wicked. Much better to walk in the ways of God and have the Lord behind you. I'd rather have the Lord have my back. Of course, I don't want Him in my back. I want Him in my front. But I'd rather have the Lord have that position than to have the ways of wickedness and have the death angel somewhere around us. So the protection that comes from wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You again for the immense amount of information, God, and practical living that is found there. And Father, help us to open our hearts, our minds, our lives to what You have for us. And Father, we might walk in the ways of wisdom. That we might have the safety and the security, the protection that comes from walking in wisdom. Lord, help us to be those that can pass it on to our children and our grandchildren. Bless those that come to join us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, take a break and we'll begin our morning service in just a little bit.